Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show.
O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind, hear me. I'm small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to your voice. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to behold the red and purple sunset, so when my life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. Ayum hunabku evamaya emaho. Ayum hunabku evamaya emaho. Ayum hunabku evamaya emaho.
Thank you.
Greetings to all our listeners out there. I want to welcome you to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. My name is Makua Ray. I am your host for this journey in calendar change this evening. So I want to welcome you all out there, wherever you're listening in from. We welcome you in joining in this experiment, this media experiment, to help raise awareness about the important subject of calendar truth, calendar reform, and also what we're calling a calendar referendum in the year 2020. We'll get a little bit more into that in a moment. But I want to take the time to also welcome my friend and colleague with the Global Council on Calendar Awareness, Ruben Yinas, Ken 113, calling in from Bogota, Colombia. Please welcome to the show, brother. How are you doing?
Aho. Thank you so much, Brother Makua. Yes, it's quite a journey, this journey in real time that we are starting with this Gregorian New Year, which has been for us a special one, because our last broadcast was enshrined in a good sign that we are moving into a very interesting territory for this 2017. So, and by the way, happy early galactic return. For those who don't know the reasons that we name some of the other aspects of the time science that we discuss on this program, the entry point to the new time is the galactic signature, and tomorrow is your galactic signature, and we
that's
want
right.
to honor that in this show, and that's why everything that we do here, we are doing it from the heart, and knowing that we are in sync with nature, and that we are doing something good.
Yes,
the confirmation and synchronicities are there for us to feel comfortable in speaking about this subject and making it conscious for many people who are starting to get into what is the new time and what this 2017
right.
is going to bring. So yeah, it has been. A really amazing start of the show and doing the experiment, as you mentioned, and I'm hopeful that this is the third of many, 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 many shows, and we are going to have a growing audience over the next 4 years on the road to the referendum. So be it.
That's right. That's right. Right. Hey, I love that affirmation. Most certainly. That is why we're doing what we're doing. And, again, we want to invite people to tune in. If you're out there listening right now, feel free to repost the show on blogtalkradio.com. The link to the show you can find on our Facebook page, facebook.com/calendartruth, or use the link that got you here. Anybody out there that wants to call in to join the conversation is invited to call in to the number 347-855-8448. Again, to call in and join the conversation, you can dial 347-855-8448. So I definitely want to touch a little bit on what you were saying. I appreciate the salutations and galactic return wishes. As you mentioned, this is a time science. When we talk about calendar reform,
yes.
we're talking about a very... I would say elegant science that helps us understand
mm-hmm.
the mathematical
mm-hmm.
significance of cycles in nature. When we say 13 months, there's a qualitative significance to the number 13. What's interesting about that
mm-hmm.
number is we've all, in one way or another, been conditioned with a thinking that this number 13 is somehow a bad luck number. And we realize that
mm-hmm.
we really... perceive with what somebody might call your third eye, or the ability to actually see what's happening in a situation. We use your third eye, you begin to understand that the reason that 13 has been made to be such a negative thing is because, in fact, it's actually the most positive. It actually
yes.
indicates cycles in nature when we look at how many lunar cycles we have each year, we have 13, not 12, 13 of
yes,
them.
Yes,
we consider a lunar cycle as a 28-day average, then we also know that that also reflects and mirrors the fertility cycle of human beings, which obviously the female menstrual cycle is part of that. So we're looking at these things as indicators in nature to help us really reclaim, in many ways, a perspective on the significance of these numbers, of these cycles. So we can actually say to any detractors, you know what, we're not encumbered with fear around a question of is 13 a bad luck or a good luck number. We realize that it's actually a mathematical indicator of a natural cycle. We know that it's actually, by nature, perfect. It's not good or bad. It's actually perfect. And it's reflecting such a perfect cycle in nature. Ruben, I wanted to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, elaborate a little bit on what we've seen, kind of like let's do a scan over the timeline that we've seen happen since the past July, which we know is the cosmic moon occurs in July, the 13th out of 13 months occurs in July. And we were part of presenting at the Nexus Global Youth Summit on the subject of calendar change with Invest in Yourself track during the Nexus Global Youth Summit this past year. So I know for us, in many ways, that kind of signaled something. And as we look at the year, and we understand that we're just crossing into the so-called 2017 new year, within the 13-month count, we're actually in the middle of the planets, or rather the blue spectral storm year. So speak a little bit on the timing going back to late July to where we are now.
Yes, thank you. And connecting to the significance of the number 13 that you were mentioning before and how we have been living in this 12 matrix, which is 12 is a static number, 13 is as a dynamic number. So it is the whole aspect of continuation that we have been not able to engage during the time that we have been using this 12-month calendar. So that type of consciousness of bringing into conscious awareness the significance of the number 13 as the number of circulation of time is really important, because that will allow the events on Earth and all this process of transformation that we are now undergoing, this transition in a very smooth way, if we entrain with this 13 cycle. So going back, having said that, it was for those who are new to the show, the Gregorian year is starting right now, but during the month of July, Gregorian July, is when the 13 moon calendar or synchronometer marks its start. So the starting point for the 13 moon new year is July 26 every year, and this is important to also make it aware or conscious, because it is correlated to the rising of the star Sirius at 19.5 latitudes on Earth. So we can go and use software and check the rising of the star at this latitude, which is sacred. It corresponds to sacred geometrical ratios on the sphere, on the planet, marks the beginning of the year. This rising of the star before the sun in the morning of July 26. So it was the during those days, the last days of the 13th moon of the last Gregorian year 2016, that before the start of the year, we had the opportunity to present this subject at the UN, thanks to your collaboration. And And that gave us the opportunity to raise awareness. And by the response we had after that initial exposure of the subject to our general audience, we realized that it was a really important opportunity for us to keep presenting just to the UN, but to other people. And that's how Calendar Truth really started. It was as a function or as a response of that invitation to go and speak to the UN and speak the truth about this issue of the calendar and the lost 13th month or moon, because that's the other part that is lost, which is the consciousness of the moon instead of the month. The month is based on moon. It's not the moon, but we are so used to use it that we cannot relate to the word moon, or we cannot make it sense in or the significance as a month. It takes for the human to readapt its filter of perception to kind of understand that we are talking about these harmonics of time and this cycle of 28, which is connected to the biological cycle. So it's really important to restore the biorhythm of the planet, of these 13 moons and the 28 days, to engage actively in this new frequency.
That's right.
This will allow us to entrain as in a much higher field of frequencies, and it sounds probably. I cannot even imagine what that can be, but what if we could reach a critical mass of people by doing these shows and by just talking about this subject openly, how much people we can touch and That's how right. much awareness we can raise. So since then, we took it very seriously to keep the conversation going, and this show is a result of that. So I don't know if you want me to go into details of the timeline that we used, that we implemented to raise awareness, because we are
we can definitely touch on some of that. But I want to go back really quickly, though, because you're making an interesting point about the lost month, the lost moon, that there has been, and I use this word sort of loosely, but a conspiracy that we're really, for the most part, unaware of, that there was a different timing standard that existed among people since time immemorial, which was tracking a 1328 frequency. So the idea of a 13-month or 13-moon observance is most natural and would be because of our moon, our local moon, and our star systems that are visible to us. It would make sense that we would obviously track the things that we are able to witness. Now, I think it's important to look at the fact that, you know, we have a month, which is something specific, but you're right to say a month is not a moon. A moon is a particular count in the sense that we do have 13 moons every year. So 13 moons times 28 days each gives us 364 days, we know, plus the one day called the day out of time, or the day of recalibration or resetting the cycle for the next, you know, the next sequence of 13 moons to come. So what's interesting, though, is we should point out that the 12-month system comes from somewhere. It's not – it obviously didn't happen in the vacuum, so – although it was an observation, I think it's important to point out the observation of, you know, the ancient cultures, I want to say Sumerian, Babylonian, Egyptian, who took to dividing the circle into 12 parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a 360-degree circle. And we know we have 365 days it takes to go around our sun in our Earth's orbit. And then they're looking at the circle and drawing a correlation of the circle as time.
Yes.
When in fact the circle isn't time. So if you're dividing it by 12 and you're getting that sort of, you know, degrees of that particular count, right? It's interesting that, you know, the effect that will have when you then try to apply that actually as a perfect measure of time is off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's off in that sense. It's not to say that it doesn't have a purpose or that there haven't been other particular observations that are sort of similar. I mean, when you look at mm-hmm. the cycles that are observed by a culture like the Maya, where they're tracking mm-hmm. 360-day cycles plus 5 days as a purification period over the course of that sequence. I mean, there are different applications of timing, but I think it's important to note, though, that the Babylonian system of dividing a circle in 12 parts is actually attributing to the loss of that moon you're talking about.
That's part of
the, as I said, so-called conspiracy, is to give that to people as a marker of something that could be related to them, because to talk about the calendar changing and all these things is definitely abstract for many people, because it's not something we're not taught to think about it. We don't think about it every day, unless you're obviously thinking about it every day. However, people are thinking about this Babylonian culture every day, whether they're aware that they are or not.
Yes,
and that
absolutely.
Is why it's so much a part of society, because it's supported in something as intentional as a 12-month calendar, a 12-hour clock, looking at, the significance of these numbers and the way that they're used. So, I wanted to just go back to that just to bring a little bit of context as people are listening. And we're talking about actually an untried solution of actually as a global culture choosing to adopt a 13-month timing. To help us actually restore our synchronicity with nature. You know, it's important that people understand.
Absolutely.
I mean, the 12-month calendar has no relationship to nature. It's literally a construct of control. It's literally a construct of attempting a certain type of division to be able to control that division.
Yes.
If you really get into it.
Yes.
So in
a
terms
perception.
Of some
it's
of
a perception.
The, it's a perception. And it's inaccurately applied as the standard to which we're most, I would say, created to exist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And I would say that the difference in this, we can just speak to this a little bit, but the difference in this is what we look at as synchronicity. That's actually the value proposition of reclaiming a 13-month, 28-day reference as your harmonic standard, because by tuning yourself into this, you're tuning yourself into time itself, which is nature's time, which is multidimensional as well as has social purpose in terms of organizing yourselves in a beautiful and elegant way. So.
Yes, and to also to complement that, José Argüelles defined this Babylonian conspiracy in three stages, which one was Babylon and this initial conception of the 12 as the not only the civil standard but the also for the ritualistic aspect, it has been used. So it has many layers. And this second stage of the conspiracy is called the Roman Empire and what that came with the Julian calendar. And the third one is the Vatican, and we are talking now about the Gregorian calendar. So these are the three recognizable historic stages of the manipulation of this or the occultation of this 13. And it stems to the start of our history. It turns back to Ur and Babylon, and that's why what we are talking about here is something that also connects with our past as a civilization, and that we can not ignore this truth that there is an actual measurement of 28 days that is the mathematical constant or the biological constant that is entrained with the moon. So that if we ignore these natural frequencies, we are actually losing a harmful type of energy into our life, because the Gregorian calendar is actually designed to manipulate or play with the biological cycle, and that's why you have irregularity, and that irregularity is affecting very dramatically the pace at which we are consuming resources and how we are so addicted to energy, and how we keep repeating some of the same historical events of the past and replaying mistakes because we don't understand this power of the 13th, and to jump into a whole new perception of time. We don't understand what that can be as a civilization, because it's very difficult to envision with how things look like in today's world.
Right.
So yeah, this
well,
is
there's
that's kind of the
There's certainly a narrative that is projected and supported through the redundancies of the Gregorian calendar. If we really think about that, I mean, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a conditioning that happens with the holidays, for example. And I mean, obviously part of that has to do as well with the fact that these holidays are actually business campaigns. They're not, they're not specifically only obviously about the religious sentiment that they're supposed to be based on. They're big business. Calendar is basically, if you think about it in a way, it is the business calendar. It's the dominant business calendar of the world.
Yes.
So we're dealing with the way that business has been essentially organized, managed, over years. And it also, some people may or may not know, I mean, the history of the calendar, the Gregorian calendar. We talked about it a little bit last time, but I think it's worth repeating so people do understand that the Julian calendar of several thousand years ago was the basis for the Gregorian calendar. The Julian calendar was created based in this division essentially of that circle to basically spread out the 12 months based on a circle being divided in 12 parts. And we know, again, that's not a perfect measure, right? That's obvious.
Yep.
So then, as a calendar, though, it was something that, my understanding is that Julius Caesar had July named after him and gave it 31 days, which in the sequence and the factor of the 12 months divided in this erratic pattern over, so many days per month, that when Augustus came into power, that he wanted – a month equivalent to Julius, so created August to be 31 days as well, when it actually had 30 when he inherited it. So they're adjusting that, and then that's where the factoring down and taking that day comes from. My understanding of the February had 29 days at that point in the calculation, and then they took that down to 28 to accommodate for that extra day that Augustus deemed his right to create out of nothing. It's important people understand that the basis of what they were keeping track of was actually debt collection.
As far as, yes,
I can tell, because this was applied to land tax and how the governing of the lands and the lords and the whole empire was effectively organized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting
Absolutely.
Thing. And then that is the basis for the standard now that, you know, we know is a Gregorian calendar that was instituted by the Catholic Church for similar purposes, I would say. You know, in this case, I would say more of a land grab that then became organized,
mm-hmm.
because obviously, you know, the conquest of Christendom and the Catholic Church in particular, I mean, is egregious in terms of where we find ourselves now. I mean, we didn't get here, you know, just randomly.
Yes.
We arrived here because of certain institutional choices. As you said, these cycles that we keep repeating now because we are unaware of it. And
mm-hmm.
so how
mm-hmm.
we make the unconscious conscious, and you mentioned this on the last show as well, but that's actually one of the purposes of being attuned or recalibrated to this alternate timing frequency, nature's timing frequency, 1328, is that in effect helps reveal essentially the creative qualities of the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings those things into reality. You know, and we see that living out. You call something like that synchronicity, that it's the expression
yes.
of time as art, the art or the quality
yes.
of life that you're actually creating. Because when you're in tune with nature's frequency, your life is a completely creative, you know, adventure. Really and truly.
Uh-huh.
You know, whereas when you're attuned or you're synchronized or you're coordinated according to a particular frequency that has a specific purpose, such as control or debt collection, tax collection, etc., then obviously your creative ability is going to be in some ways compromised.
Yes.
In
yes.
some way.
And it's also important to it's also very important to realize that when a culture wants to dominate another culture, when the old world came to the new world and subjugated that new world, the three instruments of control was to control their resources, which is their lands and their precious metals and all of this, and to conquer also their beliefs, which is all the aspect that has to do with spirituality, and to control their calendar. Because that is what is going to give this controlling civilization over the new one, the tool of control that is more ingrained today in modern civilization, that is the Gregorian calendar. And it's more ingrained is because we have not made it conscious. The moment that we start to make it conscious, or at least that the calendar is not reflecting what is actually doing around the earth and around the sun, then
mm-hmm.
we are going to that moment of awareness is going to create a ripple in the human telepathic field, and every single ripple counts. Because things are progressing really, really fast since 2016, and that's why we are trying to hear on this show to go through the most important aspect of this of how this Gregorian calendar is so entrenched today, so
that's
we
right.
can make conscious the past. Once we are making conscious the past, we can check our present and envision a different future based on new knowledge, and knowledge that is based on natural law, which is the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the sun, the cycles of the star Sirius around the Earth, how those stars and those celestial objects are entrained or are synchronized with our planet in many more ways than just the 365 year that we measure with uneven months.
That's right.
So that's
right.
The filter or the blanket that we need to as a civilization to start removing right now, little by little, because it's like a conditioning process. I think that for me was not easy. Probably I don't know for you, but it takes a while because your perceptions are really affected by this new knowledge, and you have to go through some layers of realizing that is important for your biology actually to make this shift to reattune,
right,
and to see how that affects your life. Just as giving us the opportunity to experience a different time, which is what José Argüelles and Loidín did. They were the two first human beings who started to follow this 1328, and they noticed how beneficial it was. So they wanted to share that with more people because it's something that it's very in tune with what is happening with the planet today, with the acceleration in the process of exploitation of resources and exploitation of the 99%. So it is.
That's right.
It is. It's a rebalancing tool. It's going to help us.
That's right.
To rebalance at many levels, biological. The more we reattune to this biological rhythm, the more we attune with our neighbors, with our family.
Right.
So it really it's a social change that needs to start somewhere, and we want to be part of that initial ripple.
That's right.
We took the opportunity to present to more people at the United Nations on July 22nd, 2016, on the 26th day of the cosmic moon. So we have the power of 13, three times there. Because 26 is 2 times 13. And it was Noosphere Day. For those who don't know, we are in the biosphere, noosphere transition. We are, it has to do with this climatic point in which we are now experiencing, that has to do with the transition from the technosphere into the noosphere, which is the sphere or the mind of the Earth, in which we recognize ourselves as not as independent of the Earth, but as part of the Earth.
That's right.
The Earth. We are selves. That's right.
So with that, I mean,
the Earth conscious will make us aware that we are the Earth. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've said a lot there, and I want to, you know, make sure we really kind of look at that, because this biosphere, I mean, the idea of the biosphere is like the circle of life, right? It's the planet. It's all life supported on the planet, within the planet. It's oceans. It's land. In this atmosphere, all of that is what the biosphere is. The noosphere, which is probably a new word to a lot of people, is actually the thinking layer surrounding the Earth. So it's the suggestion that Earth itself is conscious, and it's in the process of awakening to a greater self-awareness. And this idea of noosphere was first posited, I mean, it's almost 100 years ago, as a term to describe this sort of scientific observation, this process, that as an increasing cataclysmic, disruptive, challenging events, violence and conflict and wars and things like this, the more that that would build upon itself, it would cause this creation of a noosphere or a self-aware planet. So it would be done, though, as a result of this sort of hyper-acceleration caused by all of this sort of unchecked violence. In order to shift, essentially, in such a way, like a catalyzation of sorts, to a whole new expression of itself. And so when we talk about that biosphere and noosphere transition, I wanted to point that out just for people's clarity, that that's essentially, when we're talking about the noosphere, that's what it is. And you mentioned it's like this conscious awareness that that I am one essentially with the earth. And the earth and my mind are one, or this conscious awareness of the planet. And that the human organism, humanity itself, actually connects and synchronizes to this thinking layer that's become now awake and aware of itself. So when we talk about people feeling this awakening and this thing happening, like you mentioned, the 99%, and there's like through the social movements of the past decade, you know, I mean, just the experience of this, you know, over the past decade alone, in terms of the most contemporary sort of social movements, even onto this year, this past several months with Standing Rock, you know, we're seeing that assertion of a greater responsibility, a greater recognition of our interconnectedness with the planet. But then also, I think, as a human organism, because of things like technology, a platform like this, the internet, is an expression of that sort of unconsciousness becoming conscious. You know, you mentioned also the word technosphere, and I wanted to point that word out there for people to understand. The technosphere is sort of that. I'm not sure. There's a lot of movement going on around there, so I don't know if you want to mute the phone, just because it's actually very loud. Okay, so the technosphere is, you know, essentially the combined sort of, how do we say, artificial grid for communication and these things that we're all in some way or another using, you know, through technological platforms and communication and you know, the reflection of satellites and all these things combined have created sort of this false reality that is not connected to the conscious, living, organic planet. So these sort of machinations that has resulted from these previous societies, the industrial revolution, the agricultural revolution before that, but then where we find ourselves now in the technological revolution and the information revolution of the past 20 years. You know, it's a really interesting thing, but it's brought us to that fever pitch of acceleration to where now these codes, the law of time, I mean, these particular consequential events have been happening for the past 30 years, but little has been known about them. But they're so consequential to where we are going, you know, in terms of this awakening in the planet Earth itself, that I think it's really important that we begin to recognize that that's actually what's happening. And that there are, fortunately, there is a tool like the 13-month, 28-day calendar to begin to be able to actually clearly comprehend what's actually happening in that sense. I want to take a moment and go and share a little bit of musical inspiration. Time is art, after all. So in the spirit of the movement of the people, I want to play a little bit of Nako Bear and Medicine for the People, a song called Wash Away, because I feel like we're in this sort of cycle within cycles, wheel within wheels of new beginnings. And one of the things you want to do to have a new beginning is wash away the old. So I'm going to go ahead and do that spirit of transformation. And again, if anybody would like to call in, the line is open, 347-855-8448. Again, that number is 347-855-8448. Join the conversation. If you have questions or comments, we would love for this to develop to be a conversation over time, about time, right on time. Give thanks. Thank you.
part of something special. We're a part of something special. We're a part of something special. It's a crack in time, a wrinkle falling from the nest, young eagle. I will pull my feathers out, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. Uncle Mona taught us like an elder, took us under older brother. He said, this is powerful country, this is powerful country. And we felt like we were returning to our land rebels and the shepherds of the sea. Takers are taking what the leavers of these. So greet me the Black Prince Cicada. Such a loud voice for a tiny creature. Oh, teach me to let go of all of my pain. I do forgive, I don't forget these things. I do forgive, I don't forget these things. Oh, we burn the blue gum for a safe passage. Drink of the earth, smoke of the dirt, and my war paint was red. Oka clay, oka hay. My war paint was red. Oka clay, oka hay. Red oka clay. Oh, our birds ignite and cast out into the shire. And the song of our struggle came straight from the fire. It goes, holy, holy grandmother, we sing. Wash us clean of our pain and suffering. Give us strength for our new beginning. In my deepest thanks I sing.
It'll wash away, it will wash away. Lift them up, it'll wash away. It will wash away, lift them up. It'll wash away, it will wash away. Lift them up, it'll wash away. Lift them up. Holy, holy ground.
of our pain and suffering. Give us strength for our new beginning. And mighty fish tank, I'll sing. It'll wash away. Lift 'em up.
Change the calendar, change your mind, change the world.
I hope that you all enjoyed that great, great song by Knocko Bear and Medicine for the People. I'm a big fan of his work. I think he's incredible. And it's definitely a vibration reflective of this creative culture that we're here to manifest. You know, that's really my belief and thought about why we do this work that we're doing, why we look at this difference between this notion of time as money as opposed to time as art. Time is our opportunity to create and co-create and collaborate and make something beautiful of this earth. So with that, you know, we realize that that's the mandate of our work in this effort toward calendar reform or the adoption of a true harmonic standard that would synchronize us with nature's cycles, that would actually really help us reclaim our inherent position in nature as a human culture, yes, as a species, as a consciousness. So that's, you know, that's what motivates this work. So you mentioned also, Ruben, you mentioned some of the, you know, again, the transformative sort of manifestations we've been seeing in culture. I know you talked a little bit earlier before we got on the call about just the reality of Brexit happening in the 2016 year and sort of that, you know, kind of being one of those spurring events that really began to, I think, show that, you know, there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of want for change or shift or transformation that we're seeing happen consciously, unconsciously, you know, socially, personally, interpersonally, locally, internationally, you know, you name it. But yes, why don't you remark a little bit on some of the timeline pieces? I know as we're looking at this sort of review from kind of Brexit on, let's talk a little bit about that, because I know we did our presentation at the UN just following that. You know, we found ourselves there just a few short weeks after that, you know, was, or maybe a couple of months after that was actually initiated. But would love to reflect on that a little bit.
Yes, I think your two mics are open, so just make sure that you close one because I was hearing you. I'm still hearing you, and I'm still hearing myself. So if you can close one of the mics.
There we go.
Good?
Yeah, I think it should be fine now.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you so much. Yeah, you were touching a very important point, which is perceptions and how our perceptions. Are you listening? Yeah, it's fine. Oh no, I can listen to myself again.
Oh really? When I hear you, I hear you clearly.
Yeah, it's just that I listen to myself in the background, so it takes off. Yeah, but there's a mic open, and I'm listening to my feedback, like in real time. So now it's perfect. Yeah, you were mentioning. Hello.
Yeah, your mic is still live. I was just muting myself.
Okay. Yeah, it's just that I was still being there is a feedback, like a 5-second feedback loop, and I'm listening to myself. But it's still happening.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure why that's happening. Then let me. Just try to return it to Is it still happening for you?
Year. Yeah, it's still happening.
That's funny. Yeah, well, we spoke about it happening, and there it is, still happening. I tell you what, do you want to try to call back in?
Yes.
I can actually go to play something momentarily. You try to call back in, and we'll try to figure out what the situation is. Little technospheric opportunity or technical difficulty, as you might say. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. We fixed the glitch. We found out what was going on, and everything is all good to go. Brother Ruben Yenes calling from Bogota, Colombia.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful,
It was actually really ironic that it happened while we were speaking about the technosphere, because it teaches us in the situation in itself that the machine breaks down or malfunctions. And you were speaking before, because when we have these interruptions in the flow of the conversation, it's hard to catch up where we were. So, but I want to just make sure to keep the audience tune in. That you were speaking about these perceptions and how this technology or our adoption of the unconscious adoption of the Gregorian calendar, because we just take it for granted and we don't question it, because we think that if everyone uses it, it should be a good thing. And we don't understand that shifting perception of appreciating harmony every moon and seeing that playing out in real life is a very different perception of following an irregular pace. It breaks the flow of consciousness. It breaks the flow of the biorhythm. So technology is kind of reminding us that that we have these interruptions in consciousness created by the technology that we are, like you were saying before, we are in this biosphere-nosphere transition, and this is a geochemical combustion crisis that we are undergoing, kind of to alchemize this technosphere and this exacerbation of technology into a different reality. It's the kind of the ultimate transmutation is what this biosphere-nosphere transition is all about. So, and that's what Vladimir Vernadsky and Pierre Teilhard de Chardin envisioned in 1926 when they were questioning themselves, what is the next stage of the evolution of the human being? And this next stage is what they call the noosphere, and so the Homo sapiens will be followed by the Homo noosphericus, which is this human being that is attuned with the mind of the earth. And what is attuned to the mind of the earth is being attuned to the satellite of the earth, which is the moon, that orbits every 28 days our planet from the perspective of round numbers, because those are what we perceive with the senses is always distorted a little bit, but the mathematical perfection of the cycle is really rooted in the 28. So we have 13 lunations or 13 orbits of the moon around the earth in one solar year, and if we attune to that and we make that shift in perception and we start to entrain our use of the Gregorian calendar with the use of the 13 moon calendar, we will start to see some magic happening, which is this synchronization of numbers and these chance meetings and this aspect of synchronicity that you were highlighting before, people have a very limited perception of synchronicity because it's a shooting star. It's something like just happens and they don't give it much thought. But when you get the synchronicities on a constant basis and you have repetitive ones, then you start to get messages from nature, from these frequencies.
I wanted to make a point here because you're talking about let's put it like this. We talk about the technosphere. We talk about this sort of artificial communication grid, right? And I know that I've heard that referred to as proto-telepathy. So it's a proto-telepathy, meaning it's not the real thing, but it's been what has been preparing the human organism for actual telepathy, which you also touched upon when you were talking about how in training ourselves to a 13-month or 28-day, in particular 28-day frequency, creates a greater attunement and awareness in nature, of nature. Nature begins to communicate these synchronicities to you through numbers, through these comprehension of these cycles and things like this. But that is telepathy. So that's actually one of the value propositions as well of actually shifting the lens that you're using to standardize your life, you know?
Yes.
And I want to point out for people, I mean, the Gregorian is also referred to as the civil standard. It's the global civil standard calendar.
Uh-huh.
And what we're proposing by actually adopting a 13-month lens is actually applying a harmonic standard through which to observe the Gregorian. And by observing it, you literally begin to shift its effect because now you're conscious of it. It's not something you're participating in unconsciously. You're actually observing it in a way to actually almost as a quantum function. You know, the reality mm-hmm. that in quantum physics, like, you don't have quantum physics without the observer.
Yeah.
So yes. you become the observer and are therefore able to perceive these synchronicities in time from a Gregorian calendar base. You perceive how these are actually synchronic moments. There's an order to these things, even though we've been relatively ignorant to time as this other timing of 13 months. You know, we've been looking mm-hmm. through this predominant civil standard that seems to be very arbitrary, if anything. But then when you put a 13-month lens to it, you begin to see synchronicities to it. I think, you know, yeah. this is a really interesting thing you raise. That's a very interesting point. It's like a new lens. It's taking a new yes. lens to your experience in time of this Gregorian sort of Babylon orientation that we've all been immersed in for so long. And it begins yes. to actually help you break free from that other conditioning, you know, like we've been conditioned, mm-hmm. but were we to choose a standard that actually will orient us to nature's pattern, then man, we're doing ourselves a huge benefit. And by promoting this largely, you know, and continuing the promotion of this, I mean, we're not obviously the first ones to do this. We're mm-hmm. part of a lineage of this awareness of this untried solution, as we've heard say in the mm-hmm. the show and in other cases. You know, we're focused on this as a solution whose time has come, you know, pardon yes. the pun. But there are yes. synchronicities for people in this awareness to begin to appreciate when we look at why 2020, why this referendum in the year 2020. We need to look at mm-hmm. some of the synchronicities there for people to maybe appreciate that as well. You know, mm-hmm. as we've mm-hmm. seen the past mm-hmm. several moons, this past several months since this past summer, when we presented at the UN, we had the conversation in relationship to what is the impact of the Gregorian calendar on our thinking, on our mental health. We want to begin yeah. to explore this as an issue area related to, you know, general human interests. Like, this is a concern for us. What is the impact of an artificial timing frequency on our mental health? Everybody's always talking mm-hmm. about how they're running out of time. They don't have enough time for this or time for that. And that is a result of the perception of time that we've been taught to keep, which yes. always makes us feel like there's a lack of time. But that's actually, yes. you know, it's a jam of the frequency, if you will. Somebody's been jamming yes. our natural frequency by promoting and perpetuating this sort of paradigm of lack and limitation, when in fact, when we synchronize in nature, there's more than enough time. There's time enough for everything, and everything has its place in that natural order of time. You know, there's yes. no lack when it comes to time, you know, in that sense. So there's obviously impacts that, you know, being conditioned to this Gregorian pattern has had on us. And we need to begin to really examine this as a global health concern, a mental health concern, frankly, mm-hmm. because
yes.
the planet, the yes, biosphere, yes. can no longer take the impact of our ignorance in terms of conflict. You know, the friction mm-hmm. of what has been catalyzed and what have been catalytic events to bring forward this evolution, these things have run their course, and now we have to do the work to make the choice to shift. We've had enough of sort of ignorant participation, meaning unconscious participation in, you know, nationalism, to where we'll get behind our nation and go into war with other nations. But that's mm-hmm. an ignorance in the sense that it's a limitation on our understanding of the impact of our violence mm-hmm. and the wars that we've unconsciously, unwittingly participated in. We haven't considered the impact on the physical earth. Yeah. We've been on the planet living as though the planet is not conscious. And on some mm-hmm. level, the planet has not been as awakened as the planet has obviously become at this point in time. So with yes. consideration of where we find ourselves in sort of this cresting wave or this intersection in this transition, it's one of the reasons we call the 2016-2017 13-month calendar a transitional calendar, because we planted an idea at the UN for a public referendum on the calendar, meaning we wanted to put before the human community to choose, would we want to keep operating with this erratic, irregular, disharmonic, disconnected standard, this Gregorian calendar that was imposed on us over 400 years ago in mass worldwide throughout the years, over the course of a couple of centuries, until I think 1930s was like the last, you know, nation to accept that as the standard of then at this point, you know, global business and all the systems that operate on trade and, you know, ships on the water and the whole commercial business realm. The Gregorian calendar is the way that it operates. It is
absolutely
the basis for it to operate that way. Now, do we choose to keep that as the modus of operandi for the human family and our future, our collective future, or would we try the untried solution of adopting a 13-month, 28-day lens that actually will help synchronize the any other timing standard? It actually synchronizes it to nature.
Yes.
So it creates a lens through which we can actually properly perceive where we are in nature, where we are in time, where we are in the sort of evolutionary wave that we've, you know, now we're becoming more aware. We've been riding a major transformative wave, you know, and this is where we find ourselves in that process. So the year 2020, I just want to point this out for folks. The year 2020, as we've talked about, July 26th, the traditional helical rising of the star Sirius sets forth day one of the 13-month count, July 26th, every year. Now, in the year 2020, July 26th happens to be a Sunday. So the proposal becomes synchronize the Gregorian calendar to the natural timing frequency, 1328, starting July 26, 2020, and each year thereafter, July 26th would be a Sunday.
Yes.
But that's a general, you know, broad understanding of what's being proposed in this sense.
Yes.
Now, also to point out for people the synchronicity here is, again, we're not the first to give emphasis or put a focus, a spotlight on 1328. In fact, since time immemorial, peoples the world over have kept the 1328 lens for their comprehension of our timing frequency, for our annual orbit around our sun. So if we look at the special witness of time, Pakal Votan, to the classic Maya civilization, who people may know about the Temple of Inscriptions in Chiapas, Mexico, in Palenque, and understand that his tomb in that structure, the Temple of Inscriptions, was dedicated in the year 692 AD. Now, if you look at this, the time between 692 and 2020, it's 1328 years.
Yes.
So that, for people's understanding, is a literal, absolute synchronicity in the communication of numbers and why there's a relationship to our quality of life. Numbers, mathematics, in their elegance, communicate qualitative value. You know, not only are they used to measure something, but they also communicate a qualitative value of something. And according to the prophecies associated to that complex and associated to that which has come even in our time, our lifetimes, insofar as the Telectonon prophecy, there is an understanding that the prophecy said if humanity wishes to avoid or save itself from biospheric destruction, it must return to living in natural time.
Absolutely.
And, yes. And it's important for people to understand that that's why we're specifically putting such an emphasis on this campaign between now mm-hmm. and the year 2020 in the Gregorian calendar, because we believe that there's a really incredible opportunity that mm-hmm. this elegant harmonic standard timing can become something that people are educated on and can appreciate the value, the cultural value. As a concerted humanity, what's the cultural value to the global culture of humanity? If it's mm-hmm. anything, let it be peace. And yes. this harmonic standard, this timing frequency, actually will create the basis for actual peace, where people Absolutely. Are themselves encouraged and supported in nature, by nature, to live their creative purpose. That's what yes. it is. It's not a frequency yeah. of lack and separation and this stuff. No, no, no. That stuff is timed out. That stuff is actually expired. It expired a while ago. So we've been dealing now just with the shadow of that, the conditioning, the remnant consciousness of that false system. It's not even really powerful anymore in yes. reality. It's yes. just like yes. an illusion that's waiting to be just sort of dispersed or dispelled. Because that's where nature is. And no matter what we want to say, we want to put it in the context of global warming or a context of any issue concerning the Earth or the environment or any of this, Earth is a conscious entity, and Earth has a yes. frequency. And that frequency yes. is related also to the lunation cycle of this solar system, of this planetary body in this solar system with its own local moon. And what to Absolutely. Speak of where we are in the galaxy, we don't even need to go that far right now. But the fact is, we are dealing with the consequence of solar, lunar, and galactic timing. That's what this whole yeah. thing is about. So I just wanted to put that yes. out there for people, because I wanted to point out, you were mentioning synchronicities, and I just wanted to point out to people that the timing of this calendar referendum 2020 is very much synchronized. According to... Yes. the opportunity that we know we have before us creatively to promote mm-hmm. this consciousness and to help support yes. the unconscious becoming conscious, to help people yes. make this transition, increase their yes. creativity, their telepathy, their synchronicity. That's the value proposition of actually utilizing nature's 1328 timing pattern. So
yeah, I know. Think we need to see it. We can see it. We don't need to. We can see it as an opportunity that was given to us by our ancestors, the Maya, and at least on this planet, because we are not talking about Maya as an indigenous community, but Maya as the civilization that brought this knowledge on Earth. So they gave us kind of the solution for the conundrum that we are in right now, and this is something that our earlier ancestors knew when they were following this harmonic standard of 13 moons of 28 days, and the whole social fabric was entrained with this cycle. So this is we are just trying to give the opportunity to this idea whose time has come, really, because it's 1328 years or 1328 years since the dedication of the tomb to 2020. It's a testimony that the information needs to be communicated now that we are in a sort of emergency on the planet. And we trust that the more people tune in and they download their transitional calendar and they just do the experiment, just try it for one moon. We are going to start today is the day 27th of the sixth moon of the year, and we are entering in 2 days the resonant moon, which is the seventh moon of the year. This moon is the moon of attunement. So we have really an amazing opportunity to attune our brains and our bodies to these new frequencies and tame this 2017 that is looking quite wild. So we have yeah. the the tools to tame the beast, which is this crazy, exacerbated consumerism, and how the perception that is generated, this commercial perception that, like you were describing before, that is generated by the calendar, this consciousness of consuming resources really fast, needs to be made conscious in real time. And that's what this campaign is trying to do, is that every time that we go through a date that is really entrained in the history of the planet as a decisive moment that we celebrate, because this is another important distinction, that when we are following a calendar and the festivities or the holidays that those that calendar is associated with, we are consciously or unconsciously sponsoring that same ritualistic aspect. I mean, there are dates in the Gregorian calendar that are marked as holidays, and those holidays, like Columbus Day, they mark decisive moments, like the moment in which the takeover from the old world into the new world started. So that's when we really start losing this knowledge again, the memory of this knowledge. And since we have been using the unconsciously for the past not only 334 years this the Gregorian calendar, which is the current one, but before the Julian and the Babylonian, so we have lost memory. So in order to get this awareness back of how we used to be connected with nature through these cycles of time, and how our ancestors left in stone, in monuments, and in stelas, recorded some clues for us to be able to understand this present moment and take a different route, take like the untried solution, like we have been emphasizing, because it is really the untried solution. And it's That's a revolutionary right. because of its simplicity and its elegance. I think that we are all convinced that the more simple and elegant a solution, the most powerful it is. So That's the right. solution that we are trying to offer is, in real time, understand these dates, what they mean, how history was rewritten by those who wrote history, and that we are taking that history for granted, and that unfortunately there are still a lot of healing to transmute or to experience.
Of course.
To heal these moments,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah,
because
of course.
We are all feeling it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and absolutely. I mean, the healing is definitely what's being yearned for more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
even in psychology, we understand that when there is an expression of attack or violence or something like that from one to another, it's actually a cry for help.
Yes.
Because that embodied soul is completely, feeling dejected or whatever the neuroses may be, but the cry is for healing. The earth is crying
mm-hmm.
for healing. I think there's a shared, intent there that, that's part of the purpose of our time, is to help restore where there's been separation. Help us to
mm-hmm.
heal where
mm-hmm.
there's been a wound,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be. And the fact is, the healing will happen as we put our attention on love, as we put our attention
Absolutely.
On actual acceptance of these difficult truths, but also acceptance of the real magnificence of who we actually are, what this opportunity really
mm-hmm.
means.
Mm-hmm.
on that note, I really want to say a couple of points, because we're going to have to wrap shortly. But I want to definitely encourage people to visit calendartruth.info. Have a look around, calendartruth.info. On there in the blog, you'll find something referring to the open petition for Calendar Referendum 2020 and Declaration of Universal World Peace. That's the open petition that we've published. It now has over 900 signees, which is great. We want to get it over 1,000. We want to get it over 10,000, even 100,000, even 1,000,000. And that's a part of the effort of this campaign over time, is to increase the awareness and to be able to present to these bodies of leadership to say, hey, this is the will of the people. There is a critical mass of people here interested in actually utilizing nature's timing to restore peace and balance, you know, and there's benefits that could be experienced by world governments and societies by considering shifting to a harmonic standard of 1328. So
yes,
be sure to visit calendartruth.info. Find us on Facebook, Calendar Truth, facebook.com/calendartruth, and tune in here on Now Time Radio each forthcoming Sunday, Gregorian Sunday. We're going to continue to have the show more consistently, and look forward to bringing you know more of this conversation to folks out there all over the world. So we give thanks for your time tonight. Thank you, Ruben, for being on the air tonight.
Yeah.
And
Thank you so much. On that note,
we'll play a little bit of a band called when I toured with them, they were called The Witness, but this is a recording we did called Afro Arrow. All empires except for love are going to fall. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Got to hold on tight to the precious few, 'cause